The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. It's Friday, April 3rd, 2020. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. He is social distancing at home. I'm social distancing at home, and I hope you know by now. If you don't know by now, I don't know what to do for you. I hope you know by now. CBS Sports is partnered with the Atlanta Tip-Off Club to the point where the Naismith Awards are being announced on CBS Sports HQ. I'm recording short podcasts each day highlighting the winners. The men's and women's defensive players of the year, that was Wednesday. Men's and women's coach of the year, that was Thursday. And today on Friday, it's the men's and women's players of the year. The winners were Oregon's Sabrina Ionescu and Dayton's Obi Toppin. No surprise on either side. Let's start with Sabrina Ionescu. First player, male or female, in NCAA history to get at least 2,000 career points, 1,000 career rebounds, and 1,000 career assists. She's also the NCAA's all-time leader with 26 career triple-doubles, and she is Oregon's all-time leader in points, assists, three-point field goals, and double-figure scoring games. She led Oregon to a 31-2 record. They finished second in the AP poll. And Norlander, just out of curiosity, I did something today I'd never done before. I went and looked at a WNBA mock draft.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't know that. I just never Googled that. I was like, well, surely somebody makes mock drafts for the WNBA. And sure enough, they started popping up. And guess who's projected to go number one?
Sabrina. Has to be.
Sabrina is projected to go to number one. She is expected to soon, whenever we get back to actually playing basketball and stuff, she's going to be a member, it appears, of the New York Liberty. She's coming to New York City.
All right, there we go. By the way, congrats. This was a mere formality to Sabrina Ionescu. Sabrina, by the way, on my top 10 to 15 list of girl names, had either of our children been girls instead of boys. I'm a big fan of the name Sabrina. It doesn't feel too overly common these days. Just a little dose of the Norlander methodology there. She was amazing. In fact, I actually think because of Sabrina's connection to Kobe Bryant, she spoke at his public memorial in February and did an incredible job there. Oh, by the way, that night, had a game that night, like spoke there, got on a plane, and I believe it was Stanford, had an incredible game there. I think that she has a real chance here to become an icon in basketball, in women's basketball. She's that talented. The stat to me that jumped out, you handled the column, I handled the newser on Friday for this final of the Naismith Awards, final offering. She's the first player in men's or women's college basketball in the past 20-plus years to average at least 8 rebounds and 8 assists in a single season. She averaged 17.5 points, 9.1 dimes, 8.6 boards. Fantastic player. Oregon, of course, would have been a one seed and would have had a chance. South Carolina, obviously formidable among other teams this season, but she would have had a great chance at getting a national championship. Also, one other factoid, Breanna Stewart's the only other women's player in history to be a unanimous selection for the AP Player of the Year. That was also for Ionescu this season. So congratulations on a landmark career, one of the best players in college basketball history, and certainly a player that I think will remain in the public consciousness. Like, she's got a real shot, Parrish, in the next decade to become I think, a viable true icon, maybe even the face of the WNBA. And there are no shortage of candidates there, but given how good she was in college, and yes, her connection to Oregon, Nike, and Kobe Bryant, I think can all be a factor in that, and her being the star of the WNBA in the 2020s.
Well, certainly her speaking at Kobe and Gigi's memorial, like, put her on a different level of fame. Like, there are literally millions of people who had never heard her name before who watched her speak inside Staples Center. So that certainly elevated her profile. But even without that, just an incredible college basketball player. You mentioned that if you had a daughter, Sabrina was a possibility. When you hear the name Sabrina, you don't think teenage witch?
Not really. I mean...
Like, the first thing that pops in my head is a teenage witch. She must be a teenage witch.
Okay, that's where. All right. I mean, it's certainly something there, but I feel like we're you know, GP, we're like 24, 25 years removed from that, so you might be dating yourself just a little bit. So, I mean, basically, you know, I don't think Sabrina was going to ultimately win out. I had a number of names that I enjoyed, but if it did, classmates of a would-be Sabrina Norlander would not be like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. No, they wouldn't even know the show. So no, that didn't jump out to me.
You know, when you hear the name Andy, you don't think of Andy Griffith?
No, it's not. We've talked about that on the podcast before. Like, when you hear Gary, I mean, forever with me, it'll be Gary Parrish. But there's no, what's Gary Shandling, maybe?
That's pretty Gary much it. Shandling, Gary Coleman.
Gary Trent Jr. Even more than Gary Trent.
There's not a whole lot of Garys out there. We are an endangered species. Like, it really is true. Unless you are passing your name down, which I refuse to do to any of my sons. I had like a million opportunities. I just pass. Unless you're passing the name Gary down, you're not just going to name your kid Gary. Like, somebody named David and Susan aren't going to name their little boy Gary in the year 2020. If you can find a baby named Gary who doesn't have a father or a grandfather named Gary, like, point that person out to me. You got a better chance of finding a unicorn.
Here's the challenge, and we're going to need some sort of proof here. Do we have any parents, listeners, that listen to the podcast? You are the husband / father, or the grandfather, or the great grandfather is not named Gary, and did you name your child Gary?
That person does not exist. I'm telling you.
I'd love to be proven wrong, though. I know, there's not a lot of Garys coming into the world. I get that.
There is not a couple in this country that had a baby in the past year, and the husband, the father, or the grandfather, or somebody in the family's name is Gary. Like, unless that's the case, there is nobody who just said, you know what, I was thinking about Gary. Like, nobody does that. It's a terrible name. It's awful. Like, I'm so disappointed in my parents. My parents could have named me Zion. Do you understand that?
They couldn't have. No.
I mean, they could have.
No, I don't know about that. I mean,
they could have. I'm just saying that, like, there were better options. Like, I could be Zion Parrish right now if my parents
People have already thought one thing about you only to learn another. Imagine if you were Zion Parrish and talked the way you did. Yeah.
I wish I was Zion Parrish so bad.
Yeah.
I got this stupid name. Anyway, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, that's what I thought of. I got trivia time.
All right, here we go.
I went and looked up the mock draft because I wanted to confirm what I thought, which is that she would be the projected number one pick in the draft. So let's assume, for the sake of the conversation, Sabrina Ionescu is going to be the number one pick in the 2020 WNBA draft. That means she'll be a Naismith Player of the Year and her number one pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Five times since the year 2000, the Naismith winner has also been the first pick in the subsequent NBA draft. Can you name those five players within the next 20 seconds without looking?
No, not within 20 seconds, but are they all – we're all referring to men's players here?
Yes, I'm only talking about men's players.
All right.
I did not have the time or the energy to go research the women's side.
Okay. So we got to go Anthony Davis.
Is one of them.
And you said the past 20 years.
No, since 2000, counting the year 2000.
Okay.
So first, just think of 2000.
Okay. All right, so we got to go there. We got to go hold on. I just got to reel my mind through this. We got to go – ooh, I'm going to doubt myself. Give me six guesses. My next one is Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin in 2009 is a correct answer.
Okay. Then let's go. Let's go with.
I think there's one you're going to forget.
Okay. This is fun trivia time. All right. Let's.
I told you we're starting at 2000, so identify the 2000.
2000. Oh, that's Kenya. No. Yeah, it's Kenya Martin.
Yeah, so yeah. Kenya Martin, yes.
Okay, that's three. So I'm three for three. Yeah. All right. So then.
I cannot believe you're missing one of them.
Hold on. I'm ping. I should be going chronologically, but I'm ping ponging. All right. So 03 is LeBron. 02 draft is. 04 is Bogut. 05. Is 05 Dwight? Do you have the 05 is Dwight, I think. So 06 is who's the first pick in 06? I'm not remembering. Okay, 07 is it's Odin, but he doesn't win Naismith, so he's not one of them. First pick. I don't think that's going to. All right. Nah, that's not it. Cuz Rose no. Rose is 08. He doesn't qualify. 2009, I got to believe his Hansborough wins it, so he doesn't get it in 2009.
2009 is already Blake Griffin.
2009 is Griffin. Okay.
Yeah, by the way, I'm just going to tell you, your years are off here.
I'm off.
Yeah, you're not right on a lot
Dwight's,
of stuff.
Dwight's 06?
You've been mumbling for a little while, and almost nothing you've said is right.
Okay. Hold on. Dwight Howard drafted in 06 then, not 05.
No, Dwight Howard drafted in 2004.
Get out of here.
It's true.
Oh, God. I was on a roll. You just let me go.
We went non-college players 4 years in a row. 2001, Kwame Brown. 2002, Yao Ming. 2003, LeBron James. 2004, Dwight Howard.
Okay. So 5 is Bogut. 05 is Bogut.
Correct.
Okay. So 2000... I need two more, right?
You need two more. And you have said both of their names, but you haven't volunteered them as an answer.
What? Okay, then I'm going to say Greg Oden, but I don't think that's the case.
Greg Oden was not the Naismith Player of the Year.
Okay. Then
Kevin Durant was the Player of the Year.
Yeah, but he was not the number one pick.
No, right. Yeah.
Okay. I have said these other two dudes' name on the podcast already. That's already happened.
These two names have been said on the podcast. They have both come out of your mouth.
This episode?
Yes.
What? I've said their names?
Are you a stupid person?
I have... What? Oh, man.
This is the dumbest thing you've ever done in your life.
I'm blaming it on my kids, man. I'm losing it. I'm losing it, okay? My son came up with the phrase butt crack dollars today out of nowhere.
Dude, you really think that?
Butt crack dollars. He thinks it's the funniest thing ever.
The F word.
I know. This is brutality, okay? But, and I could easily say, you know what, GP, let's go back and start it over.
You have named Kenyon Martin,
yes.
Blake Griffin,
yes.
And Anthony Davis. You're
yes.
missing two. One of them is the most obvious thing in the world, and the other one, you've said the name multiple times.
One of them
Holy
is the most...
crap.
So is one of them recent? I haven't been even thinking about everyone since Anthony Davis. Is one of them since Anthony Davis? Oh, yeah, Zion.
One of them couldn't be
Zion! Zion!
Yes! God, Jesus!
Zion
Williamson, yes!
Oh, boy. I didn't even start thinking about it. Okay, so... And then the last one, you don't think that I was going to get.
This is the one I didn't think you were going to get, but you have said his name.
I mean, I don't feel,
Holy crap, just let me tell you before I shoot myself.
No, I want to get it. Hold on. Ugh. What is going on? Pre or post Anthony Davis?
Pre.
Okay, so, well, what? You're going to have to tell me because I'm at a loss. I don't know. Who is it?
Andrew Bogut.
He was the Naismith Player of the Year?
In 2005.
What?
And Bogut was the National Player of the Year, the Naismith Player of the Year.
That's unbelievable.
He was.
That's unbelievable. In
order, it went from 2000. Here's the Players of the Year in order.
All right.
Kenyon Martin, Shane Battier, Jay Williams, T.J. Ford, Jameer Nelson, Andrew Bogut, J.J. Redick, Kevin Durant, Tyler Hansbrough, Blake Griffin, Evan Turner, Jimmer Fredette, Anthony Davis, Trey Burke, Doug McDermott, Frank Kaminsky, Buddy Hield, Frank Mason, Jalen Brunson, Zion Williamson.
Trivia time.
Okay, God.
Trivia time. Two of the players you just mentioned were, despite being National Players of the Year, weren't first-round draft picks. If you can, I don't know if what you're looking at is a cheat sheet or not, but can you name me? Play at home as well. Don't be as awful as I just was. Which two guys on that list were not first-round draft picks?
Frank Mason, Jalen Brunson?
You are correct.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So
anyway, that was trivia time. You want to talk about Obi Toppin?
That completes the Sabrina Ionescu portion of the podcast. And now we move on to the men's side, where the winner was Obi Toppin. Norlander, I know the answer to the question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Yeah.
Did the voters get it right?
Of course they got it right. Although, yes, they got it right, undeniably. Here's what I have to offer with this part of the podcast. I did manage to get Billy Donovan on the horn on Thursday morning to talk primarily about Anthony Grant, who served on Donovan's staff for a long, long time at Florida. And he gave me some quotes about Anthony Grant in advance of that Coach of the Year award being announced on CBS Sports HQ. So we had some good stuff in there, and that's in my news story. But I did ask him, I said, listen, I don't want to force anything if it's not there, but I'm just curious in what you've seen. I don't know how many times you've watched Dayton and Toppin this past season, but if you got to see him a few times, knowing Anthony the way you know him as a coach, like, did you feel as though, or if he told you this, did he utilize Toppin in any kind of way that was similar to any kind of bigs that you would have had at Florida? And he said, oh, that's interesting you mentioned that, because I probably saw about six or seven Dayton games this season. And although Obi is used more as a stretch four and was given more opportunity to shoot from deep, he said the way that a lot of the actions and a lot of the principles that Toppin was used in was reminiscent of how kind of a hybrid of both Joakim Noah and Al Horford at Florida. I thought that was pretty interesting to hear. And he said, there was definitely a connective thread, because Grant was a defensive specialist for Billy at Florida, but also worked with the bigs. And one other interesting anecdote, I tweeted this out and it's in the story. Anthony Grant gets the head coaching job at VCU in 2006. He accepts it. Then he has to tell the team. And Noah and Horford are so connected to Grant that they had decided that they were going to return to Florida. Then they learn this news. And, they're 20-year-old kids or whatever. They're emotional about it. And it's not like they're, like, necessarily heartbroken, but they're like, if Coach Grant's not here, this is not the same group. We're going pro. And so then Billy tells me he's got to put fires out. He's like, guys, you don't get it. Like, when you're a coach, you don't know if you're going to get these kind of opportunities. So he talks them off the ledge, so to speak. And ultimately, after X number of hours or a day or two of them saying that they're going to just abandon it, in which case Florida doesn't win back-to-back titles if that actually happens. Then Billy says, Anthony comes to me having seen how Joakim Noah and Al Horford reacted and was like, Billy, I can't do this to these guys. I'm not going to VCU. I've made up my mind. I'm not taking that job. And Billy's like, all right, we have to stop this. You're taking the job. Okay, you're going, and they're going to stick around. And, of course, he eventually does take the job and does well at VCU. So I thought that was interesting as well. But just to circle it back with Toppin, just an interesting anecdote from the eyes of an NBA coach who obviously is really among one of the better college basketball coaches of the past three decades.
So the other, I think, reasonable candidates were probably Luka Garza, Peyton Pritchard, Yudoka Azubuike. Like, I would have, any of them makes sense. I mean, to me, I think it's Obi Toppin. He was the best player in college basketball, in my opinion, and he did it for a one seed. But Iowa fans will make a strong and I mean strong, aggressive case for Luka Garza. And I will say, like, there's a lot of stuff to back that up. He was number one in the KenPom Player of the Year standings. He was number one in the game MVP standings at KenPom. Luka Garza had the highest player efficiency rating in the country at 35.11. Can you listen to a case that Luka Garza should have been the National Player of the Year across the board? Or in your mind, is it, hey, incredible statistical season, but you ain't it?
I definitely, when we had to make our votes for CBS Sports Player of the Year, I had strong consideration for Garza. Played a tougher schedule. It's not Toppin's fault, but it is what it is. Played a tougher schedule and did very well against ranked opponents. Put up significantly good numbers, and in terms of his production, points, and rebounds, did things in the Big Ten we hadn't seen literally in decades. For me, it came down to the fact that Toppin, while I don't always view it through this spectrum prism, if you will, GP, Toppin to me was the most valuable player in college basketball this season, and his team ran the table in its conference, and it didn't do it by getting 7 wins by 4 points or fewer, okay? Dayton was dominant. It did not lose a game in regulation. It became the first A-10 team in 35 years to win, go 18-0 against conference competition. And Toppin was super valuable, always reliable. He didn't have these. He didn't average 24-13. I get that, but an extremely efficient player, a better defender than Garza, in my opinion. And Garza was not a poor defender, but I thought Toppin was certainly a better one. And his value to Dayton, putting them on the one line, whereas Iowa, yes, in a tougher league, wasn't projected as 1, 2, or 3 seed. That, to me, was the ultimate difference. But Garza does have a case, and those who want to make it, I won't resist you from doing so.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, you can make a case for Garza, and you might even be right. But for me, it does come down to the team stuff. You know, like, I don't always require you to be on one of the best 5 teams in the country, but I do think it helps. You know, I think if Luka Garza had these numbers and was on a team that won the Big Ten and was predicted to be a 1 seed, he's probably your National Player of the Year. But given that Obi Toppin led a program that is never supposed to compete for a 1 seed to a 1 seed and did it while putting on one incredible performance after another, like, that just tips the conversation in his favor. But if you're an Iowa fan who, you know, fought for Luka Garza, argued for Luka Garza, like, you're not crazy. Like, there's nothing dumb about it. It's just that more people seem to think that Obi Toppin's the guy. Like, I had one Iowa fan who apparently has an Iowa podcast, I guess. I don't know. And he was like, would you be interested in coming on my podcast and debating Obi Toppin against Luka Garza? And I was like,
yes.
No, I would not
you
be
definitely,
interested.
I think our listeners would love to hear you do that.
Under no circumstances. You know what I'm interested in? Not doing a podcast for a day. You know what I'm interested in? Shutting the F up for a little while. I am so tired of talking, especially when there's no sports to talk about. Like, it's insane how much I'm talking about nothing. With all due respect, I say, no, I'm going to pass on that opportunity. But I guess I'd bottom line it this way. I hear you. Like, there's a case to be made for Luka Garza. I just happen to think the National Player of the Year should be Obi Toppin. But preseason National Player of the Year for next season? That's almost certainly going to be Luka Garza across the board.
If he returns, the only other player, if Devon Dotson were to opt to return, that's the only other guy that you would have in competition with Luka Garza. And I think I'd still have to pick Luka Garza if Garza does return there. So, yeah, if you're Iowa, you're obviously hoping for that. I mean, the return of Luka Garza, if you're Iowa, puts you into a conversation for, like, preseason Final Four hopeful he can be that good. So that's something to keep in mind. But, yeah, you know, it's certainly an uncommon year in that you're two – Udoka Azubuike's there as well. I don't want to just say two, because to me it was Toppin, then Garza, and then Azubuike, and he's not really that far behind. for third overall. But no slam dunk like Zion Williamson. I cannot believe it took me forever. I wasn't even thinking about recent seasons, but no excuse, Matt. That was just idiotic. You idiot. but regardless, yeah, that'll be interesting to see if he does come back. I'd love to see it and see what he can do and see if he just like puts up, you know, if he improves, we're talking like ridiculous numbers there. So we wait and see. But congrats to Toppin and to Dayton and to Anthony Grant and to his teammates. Another piece of hardware in what's becoming a crowded proverbial trophy case for that program overall. And so it's a big time award. You know, you won the most outstanding player, the player of the year, to be specific, for the award that's named after the man who invented the sport. That's the kind of thing that when you get later in life, you look back on, and that's among your most, I think, treasured accomplishments and possessions. So congratulations to Obi Toppin, who is also, by the way, like a number one or number two seed all-time college basketball name. I don't think we talk about that enough. His full name is Obadiah Toppin, but just off the tongue, Obi Toppin, and he played at Dayton. I think that's absolutely perfect and a good embodiment of sometimes the quirkiness and spirit of college hoops.
One last thing on Garza, then one more thing on Toppin. Listen, I never tell. I haven't always been this way because when I was younger, I thought that I knew what everybody ought to do all the time about everything. And then I realized that what motivates me doesn't necessarily motivate other people. And what motivates other people doesn't necessarily motivate me. So I got out of the business of telling underclassmen what they should or should not do. Luka Garza can return to Iowa, and that's fine with me. Luka Garza can decide he wants to get on with his professional career, whatever that looks like, and that's fine with me as well. But I will say, if I was an on-the-fence guy, I do think there's something to be said for, hold up, I've got a chance to come back to school, be on a preseason top 10 team, be the preseason National Player of the Year on every magazine that gets printed.
Yeah.
There's some real value in that. Like, you'll never get that opportunity again. Like, I think this is probably true. Luka Garza has one more chance the rest of his life to ever be the best player on his team.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably true.
Yeah, unless he winds up like, you know, we look up in 7 years and he's just killing it overseas or something like that. Not that he can't or make it or sustain himself in the NBA, but he's an interesting case, and we see these practically annually, of an awesome college player who just doesn't project to be, you know, despite how awesome he was, he just doesn't project to be a surefire, can't-miss NBA prospect. Maybe he returns, and then we look up a year from now and college basketball has had a season, and hopefully you and I are talking a year from now in Indianapolis at the Final Four. Please let that happen. And Garza has turned himself into a surefire, you know, top 15, 17 draft pick. Who knows? It's not something that happens a ton, but what you just presented, Parrish, is certainly possible. And not just that, but even more in the big picture, Luka Garza has an opportunity, if he so chooses, to be among the most relevant players in his sport, and that will not happen again. Like, you have it's chase what you want to chase, do what you want to do, but there is definitely a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity that awaits him if he so chooses it.
Right. Let me put it that way. Luka Garza has an opportunity to spend one more year of his life being talked about, discussed, receiving the attention in a way that he's never had it before, and in a way that he will never have it again. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth. Like, he will never play on he'll never be the best player on I'll put it this way. He has one more opportunity to be the best player on his team, on a team that's supposed to be good, and arguably the best player in America while playing on national television in the United States twice a week. He'll never have that opportunity again, because even if he ends up in the NBA, and I'm not sure that he will, but if he ends up there, he's just a guy in that league. I mean, he's just a guy. Yeah. He got a chance to be the guy. And I do think that that's worth something. If he decides it's not enough to keep him in school, that's, again, fine with me. Like, you make your own decision. But I think if I were in a position to be, you know, again, on all the magazine covers to start the season, I'd have a hard time passing that up unless I was Obi Toppin, who's going to be drafted in the top 10. Then you got to go. I mean, you'll have to, but you probably should. But like when you're picking between being a second round pick at best or coming back to school and being all of the things Luka Garza can be, to me, that really leans toward the direction of coming back to school and really, you know, just making that 1 year that's going to be at least on paper incredible, like making it, you know, just never regretting passing it up. How about I put it that way? You don't, I wouldn't ever want to be in 3 years playing in Europe and wondering, man, did I pass up what could have been the best basketball year of my life? Even if I wouldn't have been making a salary, did I pass up the best basketball year of my life? I wouldn't want to live with that regret. I wouldn't want to think about that the rest of my life.
What was your thought on Toppin?
Are you a believer in him as an NBA player?
I am a believer in him as an NBA player, yes. And I'm a believer in him as an NBA player to the point where, like, if you, I would say, if you told me that Toppin, by the year 2030, if you told me to go over under 0.5 All-Star games, I would say over. I might just be a guy that gets in once, maybe twice. But I think that he, as long as he continues to be a good three-point shooter, and he shot like 39%, didn't shoot a ton, but he shot more than 83s this season. Athleticism is there. Defensively, I think will get even stronger. And obviously knows how to work his way around the rim. I definitely can see it happening. And even though these players are so, so different, okay, they are so different. But I feel like every other year, every third year, we just have a guy that leaves college. He's awesome. Might be an All-American, might not, but is projected to be like a top 10 pick. And, you know, we have these discussions heading into a draft about, all right, well, we can see why he's been awesome, and we can see why he's been projected to be such a good, like, top 5, top 10, top 15 pick. But do you see it happening? And I remember last freaking year, two players taken by the same team, taken by your team, where I was like, yeah, there's no reason why these guys should not be great. Now, I didn't think Ja Morant would be a superstar in year one, but I definitely thought Ja Morant was going to be all-star level kind of player. And additionally, we sat on the HQ set during the draft last season, and I was as in on any player as Brandon Clark, because he had proven it from an athletic standpoint, from a defensive standpoint. His numbers were incredible. And, yeah, he steps in right away, and it's not the level nearly as Morant, but it was another one of those, like, well, he's older, I don't know, like Toppin, okay, like he had a redshirt year. No, I think he's going to be really good. I would be more surprised if he wound up as a true Jag, like if he's, by his eighth season in the league, been on four teams and just doesn't do anything. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to be a starter. I think he'll be a starting-level player for seven of his first 10 seasons in the league.
You're exactly right about Brandon Clark. Everything that you needed to see was there. He was incredibly efficient, had the second best player efficiency rating in the country behind only Zion Williamson. You've heard of Zion Williamson.
Who
right?
is that?
Yeah. So okay. Brandon Clark was second PR. He was the best player on a great team. Like, what were you looking for? And you know what NBA franchise said? Yeah, but he's already 22 years old. Do you really want to take a 22-year-old? Like, why wouldn't you take a 19-year-old that's got more room to grow? Because Brandon Clark will be awesome. And by the way, you know who's got the second best player efficiency rating in the NBA among rookies right now?
is it really him?
It's Zion and Brandon Clark, one and two. Like, wow. It translated perfectly. Brandon Clark's good. He's going to be a part of a Grizzlies franchise that could compete for Western Conference Finals, you know, in a few years. You would assume, based on the stardom of Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Brandon Clark, like, that franchise is in a good place right now. And some of it is because they just said, I guess we could take a 19-year-old with potential, but we got a 22-year-old who looks like he does everything we want somebody in that position to do. So let's just get him. And they moved up and they got him, and it was brilliant. Like Brandon Clark, Obi Toppin is going to be picked lower than he should be picked because he's already 22 years old. And this would be my prediction. Wherever he's picked, he will outperform the pick. Like, let's say he's picked sixth or fourth, eighth, whatever it is. When we look up in 3 years, you'll say Obi Toppin is better. If we, if, but, you know, sometimes people redo the draft. Let's redo that draft. when they redo the draft in 3 years, he'll be picked higher than he'll actually be picked in this draft.
We will probably repeat this segment to a certain extent on a podcast as we get closer to the draft, whenever that happens, by the way. But I'll close on this. I think that the fact that we are having this pandemic issue and coronavirus is going to cancel the NBA Combine. It's going to cancel so much, if not all, of the pre-draft stuff. I actually think that Toppin will be drafted. My expectation is that he will be drafted higher than he otherwise would have been if it was a normal year. He goes through the process. Not to say that he would have plummeted or anything like that, but I actually do anticipate him going 6th, 4th, 5th, because they're not going to be all that other noise. They're going to rely so much on the tape, on his coaching staff, and the performances and the awards and accolades. So it actually might benefit him, and it might save some scouts or some GMs some embarrassment later down the road. But that being said, yeah, I do think that he has a good chance at doing what you are suggesting, and his age should not be held against him.
I have him going 2nd in my most recent mock draft. I've got LaMelo Ball 1 and Obi Toppin 2. Those are the two players that I feel most confident about, transitioning into the NBA. And our buddy Sam Vecenie, who has actually been on this podcast this entire time.
Yeah, Sam, we'll get to you next time, man.
We're going to get to you next time, Sam. He now has LaMelo Ball going 1 in his mock draft as well. And that seems to be picking up some steam. But I would take Obi Toppin 2nd. I don't know that he's going to go 2nd. I'd take him 2nd. I think he's going to be a high-level NBA player, and I think it's going to be obvious very quickly. I think he's going to transition well. He'll make an impact as a rookie. Not all these dudes drafted in the lottery are going to make impacts as rookies. In fact, most probably won't. I think Obi Toppin will.
Congrats to Toppin. Dayton fans, this kind of wraps up. Listen, you've gotten, rightfully so, literally hours of discussion with GPI on the podcast this past season. And with the awards kind of closing out here, we kind of close this chapter. But congrats. And hope everyone has a good weekend. Hopefully you got good weather near you. Get out and stretch. We will have another podcast for you next week. I've been working on something that will factor into our discussions, I think, a little bit, and then we'll see what else happens. But yeah, we're going to take a little bit of break. I don't want GP talking about sports for like a minimum of 4 days here, okay? Take a little breather, GP, before we reconvene next week and really dive headfirst into a unique offseason, an unprecedented offseason.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry, MF, and Teagle. Legend. Shouts to Larnell. Go subscribe to the Island College Basketball Podcast, Apple Podcast. Rate it favorably. 5 stars, nice comments. And we will talk to you again really soon. Stay home, stay safe, and we'll connect with you not too long down the road. Till then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.